The Americans clearly have no strategy. And the problem with conflicts like this is always that you don't just have to go in. You also have to get out again. So this whole affair is, as I said, ill-considered, to say the least. At the moment, I cannot see what strategic exit the Americans are now opting for, especially as the Iranians are obviously negotiating very skillfully, or rather, very skillfully not negotiating, and letting the Americans travel to Islamabad only to leave again without any results. An entire nation is being humiliated. And at the moment, I do not see how this can be realized in the near future, because the Iranians are clearly stronger than one thought, and the Americans clearly don't seem to have a convincing negotiating strategy.
This is my video update on this Tuesday afternoon, April the 28th, coming to you from Limassol, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with BlackRock Mertz. BlackRock Mertz, he was speaking at a school yesterday in Germany. And he said some very interesting things. Well, a couple interesting statements from BlackRock Mertz, which has a lot of people talking. Can you imagine BlackRock Mertz visiting your school? BlackRock Mertz is here, everybody. BlackRock Mertz. Come, children. Let's listen to BlackRock Mertz. Guten Tag, children. I am BlackRock Mertz. scary thought. But anyway, so Mertz is obviously shaken by the latest polls, which show the AfD at 28%, according to a Bild poll. If there were elections in Germany today, the AfD would be the number one party with 28%, and Merz's party would be a distant second place with 24% of the vote. And this has shocked the globalist establishment in Germany. And BlackRock Merz is now saying some ridiculous stuff that he obviously does not believe in. So one of the statements that BlackRock Mertz made was that Iran has humiliated the United States. Iran has humiliated U.S. President Trump in the war. Daddy Trump is not going to be happy with that statement. And the second statement that BlackRock Mertz made, which is catching a lot of people's attention, is that he talked about a solution to Project Ukraine, where Ukraine would accept that they would cede territory to Russia. And in exchange, Ukraine would be given entry into the European Union, not fast track entry into the European Union. It would take time, according to Mertz, for Ukraine to enter the EU, but basically they would accept a loss of territory. And then they would have a referendum, and Zelensky would be able to sell the referendum to the people of Ukraine and sell the loss of territory to the people of Ukraine by saying that this would get them entry into the European Union. And that's how you would get to some sort of a solution with Project Ukraine. So those are the two statements that Mertz made. Two statements that that we know by his actions he does not believe in or buy into. When it comes to Iran humiliating the United States or humiliating Trump in this conflict, Mertz stated that that Iran has fought better than anyone thought they would fight, that their military was much stronger than anyone thought their military was, and that Iran is very skilled in diplomacy. They've been very, very skilled in their diplomatic efforts as well. And Mertz doesn't buy into this because during the beginning of the conflict, it was BlackRock Mertz who actually supported Trump's war against Iran. I remember he was at the White House during the first couple of days or couple of weeks of the war. Mertz was in D.C., and he was very supportive of Trump's regime change operation and regime change war against Iran. He said as much. He didn't travel to D.C. to tell Trump, you know, Iran's military, I think they're stronger than you believe, or Iran is not going to be regime changed that easily. Maybe you should wind this down, President Trump. They might close the Strait of Hormuz. This could cause a lot of damage. Maybe you should rethink what you're doing. No, I didn't say any of that stuff. He went to D.C. and he was supporting Trump. He was actually pushing Trump to go harder, go faster. Remove that regime in Iran, Daddy President Trump. So he's saying the whole Iran thing because he believes the powers that control Merz believe that this is going to play well with the German population. And maybe it will slow down some of AfD's momentum. And the statement about Ukraine, well, he's also saying that because, once again, he believes that that the German population is sick of Project Ukraine and they would like some sort of a solution, something that the AfD says often, and that has gained traction. And so Merz comes along and he says, you know what, I've got a solution. Ukraine accepts losing territory. We have a referendum. We get them into the EU. There's your solution, everyone. See how clever I am? BlackRock Merz. But he doesn't believe in any of this because who is the number one fanboy cheerleader of Le Gobelin Vert? Who is the number one cheerleader for escalation, for conflict with Russia? Who is spending all that money, taking out all those loans to build up the military and to build up the German fighting force in order to take on Russia? It's Merz. Merz is spending the money on the military. Merz is talking about drone facilities and drone factories. Merz is the one who's talking about escalating with Russia. Merz is the one who is talking about Ukraine defeating Russia on the battlefield. It's Merz. Merz is the one that's saying that Ukraine should not settle for any type of diplomatic solution that is on the table, for example, Istanbul plus June 2024 terms. It's Merz that has been saying all of that and that has been preventing one of the major obstacles, preventing Ukraine to perhaps, maybe finding some sort of a diplomatic solution with Russia. It's Merz, 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 Merz. He hates Russia. He wants the war to continue. He said as much. But now he's at a school and he's talking about some sort of territory for EU membership solutions. So anyway, that's BlackRock Merz. You can tell that the whole AfD thing has really, really disturbed his CDU, his ruling CDU party. And they're trying to gaslight the German people into thinking that they have some solutions to the problems that they themselves have created and the problems that the AfD is capitalizing on and are providing solutions towards, which is giving the AfD their pole position 28% number if there were to be elections today. So from Merz, we go to Daddy Trump. Let's talk about Daddy Trump. And I talked about this offer that allegedly Iran had given to Pakistan, and then Pakistan had passed it on to the United States. And this offer, this idea presented by Iran, allegedly, was that we forget about the United States and Iran. They forget about all the uranium enrichment stuff, or just push that back. Let's not discuss that for the moment. Let's push it back to a further date. And let's just focus on opening Hormuz. The United States, remove your blockade. If the U.S. removes its blockade, then we get Hormuz back up and running again. Of course, Iran collects its toll, its 2 million yuan toll. But at least we figure out Hormuz together as a type of compromise, confidence-building solution, let's say. And let's put all the other stuff that we can't figure out, like uranium enrichment. Let's push that further back and let's not discuss that. Let's continue with the ceasefire in Lebanon. Let's continue with the ceasefire in the region between the United States and Iran. And let's just focus on opening up Hormuz. Allegedly, that was the proposal that Iran had had presented to Pakistan, and I believe Oman as well. And then they passed this on to the United States. Anyway, Reuters is reporting that Trump held a meeting of his national security team yesterday, and they didn't like this proposal from Iran, this alleged proposal. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And the reason that they didn't like this proposal is because, according to Reuters, it does not address the uranium enrichment, which is what Trump claims this war is all about. And so for them, this proposal from Iran is a non-starter. Now, we don't even know if Iran made this proposal, to be fair and honest. The only reason that that I bring up this proposal and I talk about it is because not only did Axios report about this Iran proposal to the Trump White House, and not only did we have some sort of a meeting at the Trump White House regarding this proposal, but we had outlets in the region, in the Middle East, that actually talked about this proposal. If it was just Axios, then I probably would not have discussed the proposal. But the fact that there were other outlets, especially outlets in the region, that talked about some sort of an offer that was floated to the Trump administration, warranted my attention, warranted our attention. And I don't think Iran has actually issued a statement on this. Correct me if I'm wrong. Has anyone in Iran, a high-level official, Araghchi, Ghalibaf, has anyone actually talked about some sort of an idea or a plan focused on resolving Hormuz that was provided to the United States, the Trump administration? I don't think anyone has actually mentioned anything about this in Iran. So this could be made up, right? This could be all fabricated. Maybe this was an idea that Iran had and wasn't an actual concrete proposal, a document, a well-formulated document. Maybe this was just some sort of idea, and then this idea was relayed to the United States. Maybe this didn't exist. Maybe no such proposal was made. We don't know. Maybe this was made. Maybe this really was a proposal that Iran put together, and they decided to run it by the United States. But whatever is going on there, the reports from Reuters is that the Trump administration wants to settle the whole uranium thing, which can be easily solved, very, very easily solved, but they don't want to solve it the easy way, the Trump administration. The uranium issue can be easily solved. They had it solved with the JCPOA, which Trump tore up. And Russia has offered the Trump administration multiple times that they would take custody of the enriched uranium. And actually, Iran agreed to a solution to the enriched uranium before the conflict, when Oman was mediating between the two sides, and Witkoff and Kushner, allegedly, according to Oman, the Oman mediators, those two didn't quite understand the concessions that Iran was making when they resolved the uranium enrichment about 2 months ago during those negotiations before the war started. Witkoff and Kushner were kind of clueless, and they relayed false information or wrong information to Trump about the concessions that Iran had made, and then we got the war. But anyway, the Trump administration is now saying, according to Reuters, that they want to resolve the uranium enrichment. And so the blockade of Iran by the United States continues, which is not a very good blockade. We keep on getting multiple reports of many ships and tankers that are making it through the blockade and that are paying Iran the 2 million yuan toll. Rubio, he was speaking to the media, and he said it's unacceptable for any deal to contain the Iranians controlling the Strait of Hormuz. He said that's absolutely unacceptable, according to Rubio. It is an international waterway, and therefore the United States will not allow Iran to collect a toll from the Strait of Hormuz, even though you have many waterways where various countries collect some sort of a payment for ships to pass. But in Iran's case, Rubio says it's a non-starter. Keep in mind that Hormuz was free and open before Trump started this entire conflict. So anyway, that is an update there. I have some Mertz quotes. Actually, let me read you what Mertz said. The Iranians are clearly stronger than expected, and the Americans clearly have no truly convincing strategy in the negotiations either. He was speaking at a school in Marsburg, North Rhine-Westphalia. The problem with conflicts like this is always that you don't just have to get in, you also have to get out again. We saw that very painfully in Afghanistan. For 20 years, we saw it in Iraq. Mertz also said that at the moment, I don't see what the strategic exit the Americans will choose, especially since the Iranians are negotiating very skillfully or very skillfully not negotiating, he added. Mertz argued that an entire nation is being humiliated by the Iranian leadership, particularly by the so-called Revolutionary Guards. Some pretty powerful statements from Mr. BlackRock, Mertz. On Alensky, he said, hopefully there will eventually be a peace treaty with Russia. Then possibly part of Ukraine's territory will no longer be Ukrainian. For Zelensky to push through a referendum for such a decision, he could tell Ukrainians, I have opened the path to Europe for you. All right, so that's Mertz. Arachi was in St. Petersburg yesterday. He was supposed to go to Moscow, but he ended up going to St. Petersburg, where he met with Lavrov, and he met with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Arachi posted on X, pleased to engage with Russia at the highest level as the region is in major flux. Recent events have evidenced the depth and strength of our strategic partnership. As our relationship continues to grow, we are grateful for solidarity and welcome Russia's support for diplomacy. Yeah, Russia absolutely supports Iran. I think there's no question to that. And they voiced their support for Iran once again. In the meeting yesterday, Putin said as much, that Iran is fighting for its sovereignty and its independence. If Russia is showing that type of support for Iran, then you know that it's the same for China as well. And Russia and China would not be showing so much support for Iran a month and a half, almost 2 months into this, if they felt that Iran was losing, or if the regime was set to collapse. So I'm sure they got reassurances from Arachi that the regime is well, that the regime is strong and it's united, and that Iran can endure whatever the U.S. and Israel are throwing at them. And so that was the meeting in St. Petersburg. Shifting back to the United States. Yeah, let's walk this way. We have the King of England, King Charles. He is in the USA. I think that Trump messed up again and he touched King Charles when you're not supposed to. I think Charles is allowed to touch you first, but then you're not allowed to touch the king. Once the king touches you, then you can touch the king or something like that. I don't know. But Trump patted Charles on the shoulder or on the arm. And this is a major boo-boo, big mistake. I think Trump has done it before as well. He did it in the past. And you're just not supposed to do that. But Charles is set to give a big speech to Congress today, I think. Tuesday, yeah. I think he's going to speak to Congress. The king of all the Britons, King Charles. King Charles is speaking to Congress, and he is going to highlight the special relationship between the United States and the UK. According to Politico, Charles will celebrate one of the greatest alliances in all of history. And Charles is going to talk about how that friendship is being tested and how it has been tested in the past. But the US and the UK, they have always come through in the end to remain best buddies. He will reference the shared national security interests of the US and the UK, including NATO, the Middle East, Ukraine, and the trilateral AUKUS pact with Australia. That's what King Charles is going to highlight in his speech to Congress. Traveling to the USA right before Starmer's possible exit, perhaps. Perhaps he's briefing the Trump administration and the U.S. deep state on what's going on in the UK, including the eventual exit of 008 Keir Starmer. Don't worry about Starmer exiting the scene, everybody. We've got the next guy lined up. He's going to be just as accommodating or just as bad as 008 Keir Starmer. Maybe that's why he's in the U.S., though. This was probably planned a long time ago before all of Starmer's big troubles started piling up. But I'm sure he's going to discuss the situation with 008 Keir Starmer. So that's King Charles in the USA. King Charles tours America. And we have this conflict, this fight. Let's not call it a conflict just yet. We have this fight, which is brewing between the foreign minister of Ukraine and the foreign minister of Israel. And even the EU is now getting involved in this row between the two countries. So what is going on here? Well, the foreign minister of Ukraine, Mr. Shiba Inu, he published on X, almost out of the blue, kind of out of the blue, it seems. He just posted on X that Ukraine is very upset with Israel because, according to Mr. Shiba Inu, Israel is importing grain from Russia, which Ukraine says is stolen grain. This is grain from grain from the territories that Russia, according to Ukraine, occupies. Therefore, it's stolen grain, and it arrived at a port in Haifa. And this is the second or third time that that Israel has done this. And Ukraine doesn't like it. We don't like it. And so he posted this on X. He said, "Friendly Ukraine-Israeli relations have the potential to benefit both countries, and Russia's illegal trade with stolen Ukrainian grain should not undermine them. It is difficult to understand Israel's lack of appropriate response to Ukraine's legitimate request regarding the previous vessel that delivered stolen goods to Haifa. Now that another such vessel has arrived in Haifa, we once again warn Israel against accepting the stolen grain and harming our relations." Ukraine has summoned the Israeli ambassador to the Ukraine Ministry of Foreign Affairs to give him a good talking down, to a good dressing down. "Stop importing the stolen grain, Mr. Israeli ambassador to Kiev." And so Israel's foreign minister, he shot back at the Ukrainian foreign minister, and he told the Ukrainian foreign minister, "Diplomacy is not done on social media. It's not done via X posts and via social media. Tell that to Donald J. Trump. Thank you for your attention to this matter." But the Israeli foreign minister said, "Dear minister, diplomatic relations, especially between friendly nations, are not conducted on Twitter or in the media. Allegations are not evidence. Evidence substantiating the allegations have yet to be provided. You did not submit a request for legal assistance before turning to the media and social networks." So that was Israel's response to Ukraine. Ukraine is very upset at the fact that grain is making its way to Haifa. Allegedly, this is stolen grain, according to Ukraine. And so where does the EU fit in to all of this? Well, the EU is now, according to Haaretz, they are considering sanctions on Israel. Isn't that something, huh? This is what's going to possibly, though I doubt it, I doubt this is ever going to happen, but this is what could possibly get the EU to place sanctions on Israel. The fact that, according to Haaretz, Israel is importing stolen Ukrainian wheat, smuggled by Russia. That is Haaretz's headline. The EU said it condemns all actions that help fund Russia's illegal war and circumvent sanctions after another ship suspected of carrying grain stolen from occupied territory in Ukraine arrived on Sunday in Haifa Bay. Ukraine summoned its Israeli ambassadors in protest. So there you go. The EU mulls sanctions on Israel over stolen Ukrainian grain smuggled by Russia. So that's what's going to get the EU to possibly, doubtful, highly doubtful. But that's what's getting them talking about placing some sort of sanctions on Israel or Israeli businesses or Israeli individuals, because they are buying grain, which is helping to fund Putin's war machine. Putin's war machine. We got to place sanctions on Putin's war machine. So that's an interesting story that is developing. And then we have the New York Times with their opinion piece, which they ran today, which has the title, Meet the New Leader of the Free World. Take a guess who the new leader of the free world is. Take a wild guess. Take a wild, wild guess. Who do you think it is? Is it Macron? Is it Maloney? Is it Millet? Who's the new leader of the free world? Who could it be? It's Le Goblin Vert, of course. It's the Green Goblin. Meet the Green Goblin, the leader of the free world, the new leader of the free world. Yes, everybody, the New York Times is claiming that Le Goblin Vert is the new leader of the free world because the United States and U.S. President Trump, they no longer lead the free world after the war with Iran and not being able to resolve the conflict in Ukraine, not putting enough pressure on Russia, going to war with Iran and not consulting the European allies, moving away from NATO, distancing themselves from NATO, according to the New York Times. In this article, the United States and Donald J. Trump can no longer be considered the leaders of the free world. And now that distinguished title goes to the Green Goblin. Once again, he is leader of the free world. He was a leader of the free world like 3-4 years ago, wasn't he? Weren't there articles about Zelensky being the leader of the free world? He was definitely the new Churchill. That's for sure. And that kind of faded away for a little bit. But now it's back. Mr. President. Yes, Podolyak. I've got some really good news, Mr. President. What is it, Podolyak? More money? No, Mr. President. Then what is the good news? The New York Times says you are the leader of the free world. Again.
I am? That's very good news, Podolyak. I'm a Churchill again. This is a role that I am very good at. I am very good at playing leader of the free world. So
look, Zelensky, to be honest, he does a good job of running around the world and collecting money, right? That's his job, and he does it well. And Zelensky runs around the collective West mainly. He goes all over the world and he collects these big checks. And these big checks are beneficial to the globalists. So when they write him a big check, everyone benefits. But he still runs around and he gives the speeches and he shakes the hands and hugs the leaders and goes to all of the events. He raises the money, beneficial for the globalists. Beneficial for the military-industrial complex, and also beneficial to the factions in Ukraine, all of the warring factions in Ukraine that depend on Zelensky's money. They keep him right where he is as president because he brings in the bucks. So if you look at it from that perspective, from a globalist lens, as far as who continues to keep everyone well funded and well fed, you know, Zelensky's kind of that guy, I guess, right? So the leader of the free world, even though elections were canceled, the media has been canceled, opposition political parties have been imprisoned, put in jail. Let's never forget about what he did to Gonzalo Lira. How about forcing men into vans, sending them to the front lines, all of those thousands, tens of thousands of videos and images of the Ukraine military taking people up off the streets and throwing them in vans and then sending them to the front line. Anyway, this is the leader of the free world, according to the New York Times. And it's really funny, in this article, they talk about how Zelensky is independent. Zelensky's independence. He's no longer dependent on the West, on the United States. He's no longer dependent on their weapons. He's kind of broken free from all of that. And it's so ridiculous because they talk about how he's broken free from being dependent on Trump and the United States and much of the West. And now he's the one that is providing security and weapons to the West, right? They talk about that as well. It used to be them providing weapons to Ukraine, but now Ukraine has kind of turned the tables and they're the ones that are providing the security and the weapons for the collective West. And they talk about how Zelensky went to the Gulf countries and he talked about the drones and how the drones can protect them from Iran. But I thought that he was kicked out of the Gulf countries. I thought the Gulf countries met with Zelensky. Zelensky pitched to them his drone expertise, and the Gulf countries gave Zelensky the boot. They said, get out of here. Get out of here, little green goblin. But anyway, they talk about all of Zelensky's his newfound independence. Now he's broken free of mainly U.S. control. That's basically a summary of the article. While forgetting that just last week, Zelensky was in Cyprus on this island begging for 90 billion euros. If I don't get the 90 billion euros, my entire regime collapses. And then the next day, the Wall Street Journal talks about how Zelensky needed another 19 billion on top of the 90 billion in order to plug up budget holes in his regime. So how do you square that, New York Times? The leader of the free world, on the one hand. On the other hand, he's in Cyprus begging for 90 billion, more than 90 billion, from the very countries that he supposedly leads, because if he doesn't get that money, then his entire government, his entire presidency, it all crumbles like a house of cards. They don't mention any of that in the article, but I'm mentioning it here in this video. So that's what I got to say about that interesting article from the New York Times. And let's do a clown world. And we can wrap up this video on this Tuesday afternoon. And I think I want to go to the Power Beach. There's a lot of music playing there, so I'll probably go there when I wrap up the video. See what's going on over there. But we have a good clown world for today. A really, really good clown world. I can't believe this clown world. It's real. It is real. At least I haven't seen any community notes. Build is reporting on this. And they're running with the story that, and we have to go to Nord Stream, back to Nord Stream. The story is that the Nord Stream diving team included a Ukrainian erotic model who goes by the name of Freya. Yep. And she was the best diver, by the way. So the team that blew up Nord Stream, which was a Ukrainian team, they were led by a diver, or the best diver on that team was an erotic model known as Freya. In her 20s, She posed for erotic magazines, including a cover shot in a captain's coat with the headline, "Why Does the Crimean Sun Awaken Sexy Feelings?" Why does the Crimean sun awaken sexy feelings? Sounds like a song. I don't know. Sounds like a song. Maybe it is a song. But Freya. Freya. Yep. The best diver in the group, according to Build. It gets better. It gets better. You think that's the clown world? That's not even the clown world in all of this. Oh, Lord. What a clown world we live in. Bild. German publication, Bild. Anyway, the best part to this story is that that they had a cover story, these divers. So if they were stopped, if the military stopped them as they were about to dive into the deep waters and blow up the Nord Stream pipeline, the cover story that they were going to tell police or military officials was that they were filming. I can't even say this, man. If they were stopped, they were going to tell police that they were filming an underwater prawn shoot. Yeah, that's their cover story. So if the police stopped by their boat, hey, what are you guys doing over here? What are you guys doing right over the Nord Stream pipeline with all of that dynamite? What are you doing? Mr. Police Officer, Mr. Coast Guard, we're shooting an erotic scene out here in the Baltic Sea with Freya. You know Freya, right? Oh yeah, I watch her movies often. Can I get a selfie, Miss Freya? I hear you're a pretty good diver. I'm the best diver. Oh, wow. What they've come up with. Why don't you just admit what happened with Nord Stream? Come on. This is getting... It's not even ridiculous. It's insulting. It's insulting to everyone's intelligence. It's insulting to everybody, this whole Nord Stream thing. Just admit it. Just come out and say what happened. Come on. You can't get any more ridiculous than this, can you? They probably will think something up in the next month or two. Anyway, that's the video, everybody. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and on Rumble. And on Telegram, let's make our way over to Power Beach. We're on X, we're on Rumble, we're on Telegram. Like this video, subscribe to this channel. Hype this this video. If you have any hypes left, if you're watching from your mobile device, you can hype this video. I think that helps the video out. I hope it helps the video out. YouTube says that it helps the video out. And go to the Duran Shop, pick up some merch. Pick up some merch from the Duran Shop. There's a link in the description box down below. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.